that we do not form a chaotic society, or we do not pursue the interests at the harm and damage of other people, leading us towards very negative vices like greed and transgression of rights. Just going to go for a short break and we will be back very, very soon.
Dear listeners, you are listening to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. You can send us your emails, comments, and questions at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back again, dear listeners. And we were speaking about making sure that we don't transgress the rights of other people. When we understand what adversary means and what conflict means, then implementing Islam in the correct way will enable us to eliminate all of these issues of conflict. And conflict will, of course, bring about a lot of very bad and dangerous things in society. It means that there's going to be things that we don't want in a society, whether it be greed, whether it be bitterness among people, whether it be the unrealistic requirements that one might pursue, whether it be the destruction of other people's properties or things like that. It might even affect a relationship that one might have as well. And therefore, we need to make sure that we uphold ourselves in the highest level of ethical recommendations, and we prevent ourselves from falling into any kind of conflict. With Islam making that claim that it is all comprehensive in all of its elements and all of its dimensions, this incident of a conflict that could appear in one's life needs to be solved. And this is why it is going to be very, very important for us to understand how we are able to solve these issues, or conflict resolution plans. And in, alhamdulillah, in fiqh, in our jurisprudence, there is a special place for the issues related to the judiciary system in Islam, and arbitrating, and issues to do with conflict and adversary and everything else regarding that. And that's why Imam Sadiq, peace be upon him, he says that one of the most critical positions is the position of a judge, a qadi. And he says, al-qudatu arba. There are four kinds of judges. Three of them are in hell, and one will be in heaven. The first one who will be in hell is a judge who judges with tyranny and oppression. And he knows that he is judging with tyranny and oppression. A second is a judge who judges, and they don't know what they are judging about. Like, without knowledge, with ignorance, they will be in hell. And a judge who judges with the right way, but they don't know what it is that they are judging as well. And then there is the judge who is judging rightfully, and they are doing so with knowledge. That kind of person will be in heaven, according to this kind of hadith and other hadiths similar to this. There are two very, very important points that lay down as the foundation for issues to do with adversaries, or to do with conflict, or to do with conflict resolution, or judging, or anything else like that. And the first is the importance of judging in the legal shari'i system of Islam. And the second is the qualities of the judge, and who a person or who is able to solve an adversary issue needs to have. What are their qualities? We're going to continue on with speaking about this. Until our next program, please visit us on parstoday.com, or you're able to email us on englishradio@irib.ir. Until our next program, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
صل يا ربي على طه الأمين رحمة أرسلته للعالمين وعلى آل النبي أجمعين فبهم نرجوك أحسن ختمنا.
Round the world with reporters.
Quds, the axis of Muslims' unity. This is the theme of the International Webinar of Parliaments Supporting Palestine. Organized by Iran's parliament, the event was attended by parliament speakers and deputy speakers from Iraq, Syria, Lebanon, Yemen, Indonesia, and other Muslim countries, as well as representatives of Palestine's resistance movements to express their solidarity with Palestinians in their resistance against Israel's occupation. Delegates condemned Sudan, the UAE, and Bahrain for their normalization of ties with Israel, calling it a betrayal to the Muslim community.
It's a bitter tragedy to see that Palestinians' houses are demolished on a daily basis. 2 million Palestinians in Gaza are living in a prison-like area, and 5 million members of the Palestinian diaspora are not given their legitimate right to return to their homeland. What's even more tragic is that some Muslim countries have given the seal of approval to Israel's crimes by establishing political and economic ties with the occupying regime.
We call on the parliaments of all Muslim and Arab countries to take serious measures against the Israeli occupation of Palestine, and especially the unwelcome deal of the century that seeks to change the identity of Palestinians and their land.
The Arab-Israeli normalization came as part of outgoing U.S. President Donald Trump's so-called deal of the century. The plan, which triggered a storm of condemnations from Palestinians, refers to Jerusalem as Israel's undivided capital and recognizes Israeli sovereignty over large parts of the West Bank. While the controversial deal was championed by Trump, observers say the incoming U.S. administration is not likely to change course on Palestine.
For me as a Palestinian and the previous experience of all American presidents, they are, and especially Biden, he's having a big heritage of literature to support the security of Israelis, and he did nothing when he was the vice president during Obama's time for the Palestinian, except that speech and rhetorics, and we have gained nothing.
Palestinian ambassador to Iran says resistance remains the only way ahead of his people against Israel's occupation, since he believes that the path of dialogue does not work with Israel.
We have to unite our forces to be strong front, and all the Arabs and Islamic world will stand behind us. No other way, because they have proved always that they are not loyal to negotiations or to any other settlement with them.
Although the Arab-Israeli normalization infuriated the Muslim world, commentators say it should not come as a surprise, and it's only a revelation of their long-existing covert ties. This is why they believe the move will not lead to a seismic shift in regional power equations.
Delegates at the webinar underlined that Palestine remains the top priority and the innermost issue of the Muslim world, adding that Israel and its Western supporters have spared no effort in derailing that priority. They called on Muslim countries to stay united, as they believe this is the main counterforce against Israel's expansionist agenda. Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
...2021 has so far been miserable for millions of business people and their staff across the 27-country European Union. Lots of outlets are being forced to close their doors to prevent the spread of COVID-19, with only essential retailers allowed to remain open.
You see that we have stricter measures than even a few months ago all around Europe.
Finance ministers from the 19-nation Eurozone have just concluded their first meeting of 2021 and warned that social inequality in the EU has yet to peak.
government and personal debt is rising due to the pandemic. We are reminded that the bloc has pre-existing economic problems. For example, in Greece, youth unemployment was running at almost 50% even before COVID-19 came along.
Do not forget the situation in Italy, where proper tax system is not in place, and France is facing enormous problems of unemployment.
The EU's spending watchdog, the European Court of Auditors, has been examining the bloc's initial response to the pandemic. During an online interview, a spokesperson told us that better cooperation is required.
Indeed, the EU has to learn lessons going forward, both to react better to the COVID crisis, but indeed to pandemics in the future, because pandemics aren't going away. There will be another one in the future.
EU finance ministers say COVID-19 recovery funding needs to be released without delay and spent wisely by member states. Meanwhile, the bloc's crucial vaccination programme is being rolled out too slowly, many health experts argue. Because the bloc is still in the middle of a health emergency and the start of a new economic crisis, analysts say the EU's response will not be fully assessed by citizens until the pandemic passes. Based on current information, perhaps their verdict will not be good. Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
An international rights group says that Israel, as an occupying power, must provide coronavirus vaccines to Palestinians. According to a press release by Human Rights Watch on Sunday, the Israeli authorities should provide COVID-19 vaccines to Palestinians in the occupied West Bank and the Gaza Strip. Human Rights Watch regional director Omar Shakir said that while Israel has already vaccinated more than 20% of its citizens, including Jewish settlers in the occupied West Bank, it has not committed to vaccinate Palestinians living in the same occupied territory under its military rule. Israeli authorities had, as of January 14, 2021, provided doses of the vaccine to more than 2 million Israeli citizens. Close to 150,000 coronavirus infections and over 1,500 deaths have been reported in the occupied West Bank and the blockaded Gaza Strip so far.
Article 56 of the 4th Geneva Convention requires Israel, as an occupying power, to adopt and apply the prophylactic and preventive measures necessary to combat the spread of contagious diseases and epidemics. The provision of COVID-19 vaccine to Palestinians is the duty of the Israeli occupying forces. Israel bears full responsibility for the health and well-being of people under its occupation.
Palestinians have accused the Israeli regime of practicing medical apartheid against them and committing mass human rights violations. Experts say Tel Aviv must end its discriminatory policies and remove any barriers that may hinder Palestinians from accessing or enjoying health care.
Ban Human Rights Watch.
The statement by Human Rights Watch echoes the position of many international human rights organizations as it exposes the ugly face of the Israeli occupation. It also exposes the grave human rights violation by the Israeli regime, especially violating the health rights of Palestinians. Israel, as an occupying power, must meet its obligations under international laws and norms.
Human rights groups are expressing alarm over Israel's decision not to vaccinate more than 4.5 million Palestinians living in the occupied West Bank and the Gaza Strip, depriving them of their right to health care.
Ashraf Shanan, Gaza.
Austria extends its third hard lockdown until the 7th of February, announcing a new requirement for everyone to use FFP2 or N95 masks in supermarkets and public transport, and extending the minimum distance rule from 1 to 2 meters. The announcement comes a day after thousands took to the streets of Vienna protesting the COVID restrictions. The right-wing FPÖ party, which supports the protests, expressed anger at the decision, warning that people would no longer understand the necessity for the measures and persist in civil disobedience. Officials maintain that they would do the right thing, notwithstanding how popular it will be.
The results of our consultations over the past few days make us anything but happy and also make us anything but popular.
Studies have now shown that the new virus variant first discovered in the UK has been in Austria earlier than was initially suspected, currently affecting around 10% of positive cases.
dass wenn dieses
If the new variant replaces the current virus as the dominant strain, 5 times more cases of illness and death can be expected.
Austria's health minister says the country is currently in the most difficult phase of the pandemic and that the situation is very challenging, at least for the next 10 weeks till the end of March, when warmer weather and more vaccinations can help improve the situation. Around 600,000 people are expected to be vaccinated by then. The goal is to reach a 7-day incidence of 50 new infections per 100,000 people. That number is currently 130. But there's light at the end of the tunnel, Austria's Chancellor says. With the vaccination campaign underway, officials expect things to look more normal in April or at the latest in May. Homolesky, Vienna.
Faced with the dilemma of holding or postponing an election in the midst of a pandemic, politicians in Catalonia have chosen to heed health experts' advice to adjourn a February election as a surge in coronavirus cases threatened to overwhelm hospitals in what local media perceive as the third wave of the pandemic.
In the coming weeks, everyone needs to focus exclusively on the evolution of the pandemic and on the need to avoid the collapse of the healthcare system.
The pro-independence government picked May 30th as the chosen date for the next poll.
It's simply because that's when health experts believe the pandemic will subside and conditions will get better. It's the end of the cold season, the contagion will be reduced, and most of all, we are likely to have vaccinated a large part of the population by then.
All parties agreed to postpone the election, but the Socialist Party of Catalonia, the offshoot of Spain's Socialist Party leading the central government in Madrid, said the date was too far away.
What we object is that some have taken advantage of the legitimate fears about the COVID-19 to advance a different agenda. We believe that some parties seem to have taken into account what the polls say more than what the health data say.
Latest opinion polls show the separatists leading a majority in the 135-seat regional parliament, possibly passing the 50% symbolic threshold for the first time. But growing divisions between the two largest pro-independence blocs, led by Oriol Junqueras from jail and Carles Puigdemont from exile, suggest they may seek new alliances to form a new government.
With the vote on hold, the focus in Catalonia now is on the evolution of the contagion in the coming weeks and the progress of vaccination. There's a shared feeling that the more people get the vaccine, the safer the environment for in-person voting. Cosay Kadri, Barcelona.
Health systems in the EU are buckling under pressure from new coronavirus cases resulting from the holiday period. New variants are raising concern. Businesses remain closed. These have been identified as major challenges for the Portuguese government, which has just taken over the rotating presidency of the EU.
One of the first priorities is vaccination. Vaccination is the light at the end of the tunnel of this pandemic.
Critics say vaccination should currently be the only priority for EU authorities. The UK is approving jabs weeks ahead of the 27-country bloc. Secrecy surrounds the number of vaccines going to each EU nation and how many people have so far received the jab. The European Commission says it is working with the European Centre for Disease Control to set up an information website. And that cannot happen soon enough because a major criticism of the vaccination programme in the EU relates to a lack of data. It is simply impossible to scrutinise or compare the performances of member states. We have been talking to EU citizens in Brussels about the speed of the vaccine's rollout.
My father is 76. I don't know where it will be for him. It will be me. Maybe in 4 or 5 months. That's quite slow.
It's not easy. Yeah. It's too slow. I think the priorities are not the best one.
Trying to understand why it's so slow in EU. I don't know. Maybe we need more testing to be sure of the vaccine.
Me, I really want to live like a normal person, like the way we did. So if I have to be vaccinated, I will be vaccinated.
Cracks continue to appear within the EU's unity as countries move to secure vaccines independently of the European Commission. Adding to the woes is news that production of the Pfizer vaccine is being temporarily delayed. Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
Thousands of people, including leaders and supporters of the far right, take to the streets of Vienna to protest against COVID restrictions.
This isn't the first protest of its kind here in Austria, and it comes as the country is in its third lockdown. That lockdown is expected to end on the 24th of January.
With hardly any masks in sight and no distance between them, demonstrators only booed and whistled when asked by the police to observe the safety rules. Many of the banners, signs and slogans repeated claims that the pandemic was part of a conspiracy in which the World Health Organization and Microsoft co-founder Bill Gates were complicit.
Are you not worried about contracting the virus?
I'm not worried about the virus because it's not dangerous for 99.9% of the population. It's not dangerous. It's just dangerous for very old, very sick people. And yes, for these people, influenza too is dangerous. And COVID-19 is not more dangerous than influenza.
These claims have been strongly refuted by experts who cite evidence-based data to prove that COVID is far more deadly and significantly more contagious than seasonal flu. In fact, with the emergence of new variants, experts believe we're now in the most dangerous time of the pandemic. Demonstrators also shouted slogans against the government's vaccination program that's already well underway.
The people should decide for ourselves, yes. And not because the law is decided for us. We want to decide, is this our body, is this our brain, our life, and not the life of the government.
With the rate of new infections still considered way too high, the government is expected to announce a further tightening of restrictions. Homolevsky, Vienna.
During the COVID-19 pandemic, millions of Britons have been sent home by struggling businesses and employers to sit it out. To prevent a spike in redundancies and mass unemployment, the government has introduced a furlough scheme to pay 80% of their wages up to £2,500 a month. In August 2020, the Eat Out to Help Out scheme revived the hospitality industry a little, and businesses have been offered grants to keep their heads above water until spring. But many might be wondering where all this money is coming from. The truth is, the Bank of England is using quantitative easing to keep government borrowing costs down. In other words, the bank is printing money for the government to spend. The adverse effects of the Bank of England printing more than £450 billion to get the country out of the COVID-19 crisis will be felt in the very near future and by ordinary working people, because most of this money will invariably end up in the pockets of the rich and influential, and very little will trickle down. Whereas before, money flowed in a circular fashion in the economy, with ordinary workers paying mortgages and bills to property and business owners, who went on to spend that money on more assets and living the life, money is now flowing on a straight line from the Bank of England, where it's being printed, into the pockets of ordinary working people, and then into the pockets of the rich. By the end of the 2020 to 2021 financial year, the UK is expected to set the highest recorded level of borrowing in peacetime history.
The system is fundamentally flawed. Rich-poor division has got more extreme. The type of jobs coming in are not the old secure, well-paid jobs. They're the insecure, low-paid, temporary jobs. And so you're looking at something where the moment is a sort of the pumping of the money is keeping the thing alive. But as soon as you start ending these programs, the realities of a collapsing economy, not just in the UK, the yellow vests, Brexit and Trump are all the result of a fundamental insecurities going on right the way across.
After the pandemic, the rich will go on to buy more stocks and bonds and property, and the surplus money in the economy will lead to its devaluation, pushing ordinary people with fixed salaries further down the economic ladder. Bianca Rahimi, London.
Italy topped 1 million COVID jabs since the start of the vaccination campaign on December 31st, according to the latest data, out of over 1.5 million doses of the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine delivered across the country since December 27, more than 60% have already been injected, the highest number of first doses administered in the EU. However, some Italian media have been warning in recent days about an increasing number of medics and health workers not willing to be vaccinated.
Vaccination rate among health workers is quite high, however, about 10% of medical staff remain very skeptical. The lack of testing is one of people's main concerns. We are observing the effects of the vaccine while it's being administered.
A poll released in mid-December caused surprise in Italy by showing that one-third of the population were not willing to be vaccinated, along with half of nurses and other health workers.
I have my reservations over the vaccine because the matter has not been discussed much yet. I would have injected only if it becomes obligatory.
New polls are showing the scenario seems to have changed in recent days, with more Italians willing to receive the coronavirus vaccine. Medics promoting anti-vaccination propaganda have been warned or disciplined by doctors' associations.
Doctors' guilds in Italy have been conducting inquiries into medics accused of unwarranted criticism of vaccinations. Tens of medics have been punished with measures ranging from warnings to two-month suspensions.
Doctors' guilds' actions being timely and appropriate. Unfortunately, some medics should be trained on how to express their views on social platforms as they aren't aware of the consequences of their inflammatory posts.
Meanwhile, a joint report by the Health Ministry and the Higher Health Institute is warning the COVID-19 epidemic in Italy risks becoming uncontrolled as the virus RT reproduction number has been increasing for 5 weeks straight. The country's COVID-19 death toll has risen to over 81,000. Max Civili, Rome.
This is A to Z. An introduction to Islamic lifestyle. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Beneficent, the Most Merciful. Dear brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum. Peace and blessings of Allah be upon you all. This is A to Z, coming to you from IRIB English Radio, and I'm your host, Ali. This radio show is about Islamic lifestyle, and in each episode, we will be talking about a different lesson. Please stay with us till the end of today's program. Today's lesson, Allah is watching. Muraqabah, awareness that Allah is watching, means that the Muslims, bearing in mind in all circumstances and situations, and believing with certainty that Allah sees him and knows what he is earning of good or bad deeds with all his faculties, and that he knows what is forbidden in Islam, that he knows what Allah dislikes, and that he knows what is hidden in his thoughts and in his hearts. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what is in our thoughts and what is in our heart. So one time we act, we do something, and we feel that Allah is watching. The other time is when we have something in our mind and we know that Allah is watching. And another time we have something in our heart and realize that Allah is watching. These are all different stages of the pious people. We need to be amongst those, inshallah, who are careful about all three levels. Muraqabah means always being aware and being certain that Allah, may He be glorified and exalted, is constantly watching what is visible of His deeds and what is hidden. When it comes to the servants of Allah, this is how they feel. Constantly knowing that and being certain of it is muraqabah. This is what awareness that Allah is watching means. It is the result of knowing that Allah, may He be glorified, is watching him, looking at him, listening to what he says, knowing all that he does at all times and all moments. Welcome back to your listeners. In today's lesson, we are discussing Allah is watching. Right now, if Allah is watching, how is it going to impact our lives, our everyday lives? If someone attains a state where he or she always has this realization that Allah is watching me, would it make him or her a better person or worse? The answer is simple. Undoubtedly, it will improve us in our actions. This mere realization that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in charge and He is watching me and He has certain expectations off of me, it is going to make us and turn us into a better person. Just to give you an example so you can understand this phenomena better, is if you are in the presence of an elderly figure, let's say your father is there or your mother is there, have you realized that some of the things that you would do when they're not around, you tend not to do those things when they are around? Just imagine if a marja, if a scholar, Islamic scholar, a faqih is around. Of course, you are going to feel that presence, and hence your actions are going to be, if not a whole lot, at least slightly different. Isn't that right? Now, this is what the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does. He's above all of these elderly and respected personalities in our lives. Allah has more grandeur and a higher level. So naturally, it's going to make us very careful of our actions, our speech, our thoughts, what's in our heart, and what's in our mind. Imam Jawad alayhi salam has said, "You should know that you are never out of God's sight. Now, how shall you be?" Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, thank you very much for staying with us till the end of today's episode of A to Z. Don't forget to log on to our website at www.parstoday.com, Call of Islam page. We leave you all in the care of Allah. Till next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily, round the clock, for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave, medium wave, FM, and satellites. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 41 meters, 7,300 kilohertz every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 49 meters, 6,040 kilohertz, and in Southern Africa via shortwave 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz every day from 1920 to 2020. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our programs via FM 91.5 megahertz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and IranSat or Bat 5 and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you. In the limelight.
According to reports, over 25,000 uniformed American terrorists, much more than the number of CENTCOM terrorists in Afghanistan, Syria, Iraq, and the Persian Gulf region combined, have turned Washington, especially the area around the Capitol Hill and the White House, into a military barracks for inauguration of President-elect Joe Biden. Dear listeners, this was part of an article written by the staff of Kahan International. This article is published under the heading, Heart of International Terrorism in Fear of Infighting Among Local Terrorists. Stay tuned for the details of this article, please. After long decades of disturbing the peace of world countries, destabilizing towns and cities, destroying the heritage of humanity, and decimating millions of people around the globe, the trigger-happy terrorists are finally being stationed where they ought to be. According to reports, over 25,000 uniformed American terrorists, much more than the number of CENTCOM terrorists in Afghanistan, Syria, Iraq, and the Persian Gulf region combined, have turned Washington, especially the area around the Capitol Hill and the White House, into a military barracks for inauguration of President-elect Joe Biden and the formal kicking out of the defeated incumbent Donald Trump. It means the heart of international terrorism is trembling with a fear at the prospects of far greater violence and possible gunfights on January 20th. Following the storming of the Congress headquarters a fortnight ago by armed gangs incited by Trump. It is against the principal policy of the Islamic Republic of Iran to interfere in the internal matters of other countries. Nor are we in a position to judge the fairness of the American presidential elections. And neither we can foretell whether the Republican rogue, who for the past 4 years terrorized the world, would be acquitted or convicted of crimes committed in the U.S., not outside, where American presidents are free to do anything. Of course, we will be glad to see the terrorist Trump in handcuffs. We will also explore every avenue to see he and his accomplices get the deserving punishment for their unpardonable crime of killing the anti-terrorist icons, Iran's General Qasem Soleimani and Iraq's Abu Mahdi al-Mohandes. Besides depriving Iran of over $300 billion of revenues by intimidating other countries with sanctions for doing business with the Islamic Republic. As for the fears of gunfights and possible deaths in Washington and all over the U.S. on January 20th, although we condemn acts of violence anywhere in the world and we have profound sympathies for the ordinary American citizens, it is not our concern whether the Democrats use uniformed terrorists to crush Trump's fully armed supporters or the Republicans succeed in splitting army ranks to make troops go at each other's throats. Anything can happen in the next few days in the U.S., where the jittery FBI has warned of the potential for armed protests and bitter infighting in Washington and at all 50 state capitol buildings ahead of Joe Biden's inauguration. And when this happens, to the relief of the free world, then the Americans should realize that history's most evil empire is in full spiral towards its impending doom, which means the birth of a new era in the northern part of the New World. Instead, the United States of America, that unlawfully expanded from the original 13 rebellious New England British colonies on the Atlantic seaboard to 50 illegal states, will be replaced by the same number of sovereign independent states where the black people, the Hispanics, the non-European migrants, and of course, the Native Amerindians will enjoy their birthrights. We're not daydreaming, but irrespective of whatever happens on January 20th, or does not happen, we definitely desire the end of the satanic aspirations of the United States of America. It is time for the curtain to come down on America's international terrorism, which means any sane person in the White House should not only withdraw the U.S. terrorist forces from all parts of the world, but stop the persecution of peace-loving masses oppressed by the Zionists, the Takfiris, and the ruthless regimes of spurious states.
I'm a teacher.
I'm a researcher.
I'm a mother.
I'm a lawyer.
And I believe in acting kindly toward you, because you are
A Muslim lady.
You are very special. There's no one just like you.
From Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
You are very special. I'm so glad you're mine.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Dear listeners, thank you so very much for joining us on a new episode of Muslim Lady. In the studio, of course, I have the honor of being with my friend, Sister Razia Shami. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. How are you?
I'm very well. So we've been talking about chastity for the past few episodes.
Modesty.
Yes, we've been talking about modesty, haya, and its manifestation, which is chastity. We've explained that modesty is much more than just covering yourself and lowering your gaze. Modesty is a sense of integrity and self-respect. There is a higher being observing my every action. Mm-hmm. And my purpose is satisfying that higher being, so I don't want to disappoint him. And we talked about how chastity and iffah is more in women because they're more beautiful. And it's natural. It's the natural. I'm not saying that, oh, men are hideous, they're ugly trolls. لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. The way you've been created, verily we have created man in the best of form. And the way you've been created is the most beautiful form because God created you that way. You know, everyone is lovely. We're not body shaming anyone here. But because women have been bestowed this gem, it is everyone's job to protect it. Men have been bestowed some other gems, like their physical strength, like them being the maintainers of women. And, you know, we support them in that. It's totally fine. We were beginning to discuss the issues of haya within the family and how wife and husbands are responsible in helping each other guard it. And, of course, the problems that arise within society. And these are really pressing problems with pressing questions that we need to answer immediately.
Yeah, one point that I just came to my mind, we have actually talked about it before, but not we haven't put it like in a categorized, very clear-cut way. And the fact that we mentioned that women are men's garments and men are women's garments.
Yes.
And one implication of garment was the point that we mentioned in our previous session, that if women are supposed to be the one with five times more haya, then men are the ones who should help in safeguarding this modesty and chastity by how they appear. So this is a kind of hunna libasun lakum wa antum libasun lahunna. And the topic that we brought up in our previous session was erotic capital.
Right.
And it means that if you're beautiful, I mean, you are, the fact that you're beautiful and you're attractive and you're sexy, good, you know, keep it. Use it in the society to get a better job.
And bring more money to my firm.
Bring more money to yourself, to your company. So, Zainab, I think that despite the fact that we are saying so many times, we're like shouting and like this is a slogan that haya is good, you know, haya is all iman. I mean, if you're virtuous, if you're pious, if you're God-fearing, you have to show this haya in your practical life. But in practice, if a woman truly wants to observe the etiquettes of haya and chastity, she will not be so favorable in the society.
Right.
And people will be like, you know, she's socially awkward.
Mm.
These days, if a girl really, truly wants to be a modest girl, and I've seen a couple of cases around myself, and even, you know, among, like, my relatives, that those girls who are really, really modest, and they really try to observe their boundaries with the non-mahram, they're not a favorable a person to be with.
Mm. For the non-mahrams or for the women? I mean, who cares if they're not
for the non-mahram?
That's not a big deal.
But imagine that they're single. Who would propose to them?
مَن يَتَّقُ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ. If this is the right thing to do, and if this is what Allah has ordained us, and you are, because the verse says, whoever is God-wary, Allah will give them provisions from ways they did not anticipate, right? If this is the right way to go, who cares if people aren't pleased? Allah, if a husband is still a rizq, a provision, Allah will provide for her. And I think we need to draw a line between modesty in society and actually being unapproachable, because there's a difference, right?
Mm. So you mean if you want to be approachable in the society, you have to have a smile?
Yes. I smile to every random woman that passes by.
Imagine that Lady Fatima was here, or Lady Zainab was here, or Lady Mariam was here, and she was passing a non-mahram. Would she smile once in a while?
No. I'm saying that I'm not talking about random strangers, okay? I'm talking about people who
I'm interacting with. Let's talk about your colleague. I think Lady Mariam would not choose a job that entailed her being with a male colleague in the first place.
She's so lucky to have that choice. I understand what you're saying, that there are role models, and at the end of the day, they're people we have to look to as standard. Okay, what the society says and what's norm in the society doesn't mean anything, because the society is usually and almost corrupted.
Mm-hmm.
And these are just man-made rules. But if we're going to talk about the practicality of it all, first of all, Sayyidah Zainab Salamullah Alayha, we've never been able to observe her life under non-hostile situations. The moment she had to interact with another mahram was because the rest of the men of her family were killed. Mm-hmm. So there was no smile on her face. And Sayyidah
Fatima... What about her Quran class? She didn't have any Quran class for non-mahrams.
Exactly. Our Fatima Tazara, in her interaction, salamullah alayha, with Bilal, which was a frequent at her home, Salman al-Farsi, also a frequent. They were practically besties. Minna Ahl al-Bayt. He is from us, the household. I really wonder how her inner, was she always frowning, turning the other way? I don't know if my voice suddenly zoned out because I was turning the other way. You know, I need to understand these things. What is courtesy?
I think it's a really vague historical account. Well, you know, we don't really know whether Bilal and Salman were actually in the same house, in the same room. Sometimes it's possible that you have a lot of interactions, but like men and women are in a different space.
Area, yeah.
Yeah, so this could be the case.
Absolutely.
That they, you know, they wouldn't actually see each other.
My Lord, show me right from wrong. Give me light, make me strong. I know the road is long. Make me strong. Sometimes it just gets too much. I feel that I've lost touch. I know the road is long. Make me strong.
I mean, Islam is like the pieces of the engine of a car.
Mm-hmm.
You can't really just focus on the health or on the practicality of one specific rule and say that, you know, like focus it, magnify it, emphasize it so much, and then with regards to all the other aspects, just remain quiet.
Mm.
In this case, unfortunately, nothing is at its place.
Right.
Marriage is not happening at the right time and in the right way and with the right person. So many things are corrupted and they are really non-Islamic. So if we're saying if we're telling to a girl, a virgin, single girl, that you have to be modest, and she's really trying to be modest, I mean, it's right that مَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا, but at the same time, you have ruined the order of the Islam. No one wants to get married, and you're saying, be modest. You know what I'm saying? Be modest, yes, but at the same time, encourage your boys and girls to get married at the right time. Teach them how to be good spouses. Mm-hmm. Everything has to go, you know, we are... I think the best way is to train young boys and girls to give them information, to make them aware that to prevent a chaos from happening is so much better than letting it happen and then prescribing medicine for it.
Definitely.
That this is what's going on in our society these days.
Absolutely.
So unfortunately, because I've heard so in radio programs, on Instagram pages. People are referring, like good, modest girls are referring to psychologists, and they're saying, we can't find husbands because no one's coming after us. No one even knows that we're existing. Or even we go, we step into the society, we are so modest that people don't even, you know, dare to approach us. The girl who has done a nose job, who has dyed her hair, who comes out with a very appealing outfit, and all men are like, their eyes just roll on her, she's going to get married sooner.
Is it a successful marriage, though?
It goes back to her akhlaq and, you know.
And then, see, again, it's not just because she's dolled up, it's because she had other things in her that made living with her appealing. I know, I've been blessed to know a lot of modest women who are absolutely wonderful. You know, they're intelligent, they're creative, they're nice, they're compassionate. But I'm saying that it's not always a question of because she's prettier, she found a husband faster.
You know what? Our values have changed.
Definitely.
And we are after beauty, and we are after apparent beauty, physical beauty. Everything has become materialistic. I would care, well, like if I see someone, I say, is she beautiful? I don't say, is her akhlaq is good. The media, our educational system, everything has taught us that the outer appearance, the beautification of everything, that, like the beautiful wrap that you put around a gift, this is the most important thing. This is why so many people are going after plastic surgery.
Right.
They care so much. Look at Instagram. Who has more followers? The one who had, not the one who has a message to offer. The one who is showing off of, you know, the styles of her shoes that she's wearing,
right.
The makeup.
We're too materialistic. There's
everything has become materialistic.
Yeah.
It's really difficult to be modest.
Absolutely. I agree. If we could just make a simple wrap up, we would say that everything has to go hand in hand, you know? There has to be an equilibrium in the society for everyone to be able to do their parts properly. For the modest woman, for the modest man, for the beautiful woman, for the beautiful man, for the beautiful modest man, you know? Beautiful modest woman. And unfortunately, everything's been so tipped out of balance that our values have been placed in the wrong places. Inshallah ta'ala, perhaps if we are given the chance, we will talk about how to navigate according to the teachings of Islam. Till then, we leave you in the care and protection of the Almighty. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Who is the lover?
Allah.
Who is Ar-Rahman?
Allah.
Who is Al-Mannan?
La ilaha illallah. Muhammadur Rasulullah. Muhammad is the messenger. To Allah is our return.
The Quran, given by God to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his family, more than 1400 years ago, as guidance for humanity. Quran speaks about women.
The Quran teaches the equality of men and women in the eyes of Allah.
Chapter 33, verse 35.
All praise is due to the one and only. He is the master of all creation.
Modesty and chastity are encouraged by the Quran, both for women and for men.
Chapter 24, verses 30 and 31.
He is the sustainer and the maintainer of the whole universe.
God created us from one male and one female and made us into nations and tribes so that we make to know one another, not to despise each other.
Chapter 49, verse 13.
La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, Muhammad is the messenger, to Allah is our return.
The Quran has indicated worthy women in history just as it has mentioned such men, and has commended them greatly.
Chapter 3, verse 37.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran.
be English Radio.